Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Coming up on Fresh Air with Terry Gross at the top of the hour, a look at processed foods and their addictive qualities. That's coming up on Fresh Air. And then following at 1 o'clock, all things considered, the first NPR feed of the day, hosted by Austin Cross. He'll have the very latest on all the local news as well. And then all things considered resumes at 4 o'clock as Nick Roman takes you home. At 2 o'clock, between the programs, it's, of course, Take Two with A. Martinez. And they're going to be talking about last night's Academy Awards. We just got the overnight ratings, which are shocking. They are not only the lowest in the history of the Academy Awards, they are about half the ratings of last year's, which was the historic low. So the audience is fleeing the Oscars almost as fast as they can get away from the ceremony. Now, it's not the only one of award shows that's had a big decline in audience. Presumably with the pandemic, that's at least one of the reasons for it. The Grammys also down, the Golden Globes down, not surprisingly. But this is a real shocker to see about half the audience that they had last year in the historically low year. We continue on Air Talk with the question whether mathematical modeling has the ability to predict future political events. Joining us is staff writer at The Atlantic, Graham Wood, who recently wrote a piece called The Next Decade Could Be Even Worse, and it profiles a professor in Connecticut who uses mathematics to try and predict the future, and 10 years ago made what appears to be a startlingly accurate prediction about where we are now. Graham Wood, so good to have you with us on Air Talk.
Very happy to be here.
So let's talk first of all about the gentleman that you profile, and Peter Turchin, and what he forecast going back a decade ago.
Yeah, so 10 years ago, he was asked by the preeminent technical journal in the world, Nature. Among other people, he was asked, what do you expect in 10 years? And most people said, oh, these wonderful biotech advances. And he said, doom and gloom. He said, I've been looking at world history. I've been looking at U.S. history. And there are rhythms that are associated with history. There are cycles that we go through. And the cycles are not favorable in the next 10 years. There are some leading indicators that suggest that there will be more political violence than there has been for quite some time. And 2020 is the moment when it's really going to all take off. So in 2020, he was looking pretty good.
Well, and I assume he was largely dismissed out of hand early on because actually, you know, he's a pine beetle specialist, right? If you're doing your research on bark beetles, how transferable is that to history?
That's a good question. And yes, historians thought he was like Nostradamus, that is mostly wrong about his predictions and nobody should take him seriously. And exactly as you say, as of 2003, he was working on pine beetle populations. But what he found was that when people talk about pine beetles, they were open to the idea that there were cycles of how populations rose and fell. And some of those observations could be extracted into general laws about how camels' populations would rise and fall. And he just thought humans are populations too. Why can't we find similar cyclical features of history and laws of how human civilizations rise and fall? And when he looked, he found some things that are as I say, not favorable to the human population of 2020 on this planet.
What are the length of these cycles that he discovered?
In the United States, he found that it was about every 50 years. So we're talking Civil War and Reconstruction, and then right before the Progressive Era in 1920. And then 1970, of course, there was this horrible orgy of political violence in the late 60s, early 70s. And then that takes us to the present. So it's about 50 years, give or take.
He identifies, as you write in your Atlantic piece, a dark triad of social maladies that he describes, and share with us what those three elements are.
Yeah, so the first one is a general fall in the well-being of the non-elite population. So if things start getting a little worse, no matter how slowly, that's the first one. The second one is a government that is having trouble covering its positions, paying off its debts, paying its obligation. And then there's the third one, which is, I think, the one that is really important and is less obvious to people, which is the overproduction of elites. So when we think about the people who have some expectation that they will be running the country, running the show, have important jobs, have elite educations, if the number of people who are produced by, say, Ivy League universities and equivalent universities goes up and up and up, and the number of jobs that befit them does not go up as well, then eventually you have enough elites to form a counter elite and then take the commoner population who's being slowly immiserated and then enlist their help in fighting against the entrenched elites. So what Turchin sees is that eventually you find these elites being overproduced and then allying with the commoners. And then you have civil unrest and political violence as they vie for the small number of elite positions.
Have we actually seen in the U.S. over the course of the past 50 years a proportionate increase in the number of elites created? I know we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of college educated, but would most of those qualify as elites?
Yeah, so elite for Turchin has very specific meaning. It can mean wealth, but it can also mean a kind of cultural elite status. He pointed out that I, as a writer for The Atlantic, which is a national magazine, I would actually count as an elite. That surprised me. You know, last time I looked at my bank account, I was not elite. But what he found was that it's not even just in the United States. You can find indicators of how elite classes rise. So it might be, say, a priestly class in ancient Babylon. And in the United States right now, the best indicator, he said, was the number of lawyers. So number of lawyers per capita has gone up, and the number of jobs for elite lawyers has not gone up with it. But you could also see it in other institutions like the U.S. Senate. You know, there's still only 100 seats in the U.S. Senate plus the vice president. And the number of people who have been graduating from the institutions that have historically produced senators and other important politicians has gone up by leaps and bounds, multiples. So the number of positions just has not risen with the same rate as the number of people who think that they might deserve that position.
We're talking with Atlantic staff writer Graham Wood, who wrote a recent piece about a professor at University of Connecticut at Storrs, Peter Turchin, who has established this whole area of looking at history as a way of predicting the future and coming up with mathematical principles to do that. This is not widely accepted in the field of history, but we'll talk more about what the critique of Turchin's theory is and about the rather frightening prediction he makes about the decade to come. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC, and we'll be back in 1 minute. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Fresh air coming up in just a few minutes. I'm, of course, back with you tomorrow morning at 10, every weekday right here on KPCC. And a reminder, Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, we'll have live from NPR President Biden's first address to a joint session of Congress, much like a State of the Union address, though technically not that, but I'd expect something similar in length and the topics that the president will be taking off in that joint address. You'll hear NPR's post-speech analysis as well. 6 o'clock right here on KPCC Wednesday evening. Right now, with me is Graham Wood, writer for The Atlantic, who wrote a recent piece, "The Next Decade Could Be Even Worse." A historian believes he's discovered iron laws that predict the rise and fall of societies. He has bad news. Peter Turchin is the scholar who's profiled in the piece. So, Graham, you know, one of the things, and this occurred to me even before I saw your historians make this critique, is there are so many moving parts when you do an assessment of historical events that this is all reliant on the inputs. And when you've got an almost infinite number of events and ways of slicing and dicing the course of humanity, you know, how do you determine what those inputs are going to be? Because that's going to determine if you're going to find it's a glut of elites that really poses a serious problem.
Yeah, just like computer scientists say, garbage in, garbage out. So if you don't have data that show with accuracy, reliability, what you're working with, then your algorithms, your ideas about what's coming next will suffer. So Turchin has taken that to heart. You know, he's a math guy himself. He is sensitive to how difficult this project is. And one of the things that he's done that I think he's probably most proud of is the creation of a database. So a lot of these data don't exist. I mentioned before that the number of elites, very difficult to have apples to apples comparison of what an elite is in the United States, what an elite is in ancient Babylon, what an elite is in medieval France. So he has put together an enormous database with experts from different historical eras, different regions, et cetera. And the hope is that this is an ongoing process, one that will improve as more historians discover how valuable a mathematical approach to history can be. Right now, not that many have taken him up on that, but the project is I think in its infancy.
What is his view of the next 10 years?
Well, his view is that you have a certain amount of inevitability, unfortunately. That is, things have gone the wrong way. The indicators have gone the wrong way, and especially the size of the elites. The phrase elite overproduction is crucial to his model. And what he thinks has to happen is what's happened in previous cycles, which is eventually the elites, the elite population relative to the general population does diminish one way or another. Sometimes it's through war, sometimes it's through political reform. And what he says is that it's going to happen one way or another, and we should choose a way that is less violent rather than more. And the main way to do that is going to be through political change. And in some ways, he's pretty far to the left and says we just have to have fewer billionaires, fewer multi-millionaires, fewer high net worth people. And if you do that, then suddenly you get things back into balance, but that will take time.
You paraphrase him saying the data are clear. Darwinian processes select for complex societies because they kill off simpler ones. And that's not something we want to hear, that war is what brings about complex societies.
That's right. That's one of the things that he's found looking at the last 10,000 years of history, is that war is kind of how we all got here. You know, that is, we live in an extremely complex society. And when complex societies have encountered non-complex ones, they've just done much better. And so they get more and more complex, and we succeed because a lot of people have died before us. And that's just one example, I think, of the kind of unsentimental thinking that he has.
So you mentioned one of the prescriptives would be taxing elites until there are fewer of them, and that immigration would be reduced as a way of trying to keep wages higher for Americans. That's something else. And he opposes credential-oriented higher education. And he's an academic.
Yeah, that's right. So he points out that if you just keep on churning out people with Harvard degrees and Yale degrees, they will fight with each other because there's a diminishing share of the pie that goes to people who think they should rule the world. So we should have fewer of them. We should have less of an expectation that everybody should go to college, a more dignified life for people who do not, and then a whole range of other reforms that would keep the balance for our society.
Well, I have to admit, this boom bust cycle that he details in 50-year increments is a little concerning. So we'll see if the mathematical model actually holds up longer term. Graham Wood, thank you so much for joining us to talk about your piece in The Atlantic. We appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. The piece again in The Atlantic, The Next Decade Could Be Even Worse. A historian believes he's discovered iron laws that predict the rise and fall of societies. He has bad news. Thank you so much for joining us. Just a reminder, Fresh Air's up next. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 here on 89.3 KPCC. I sure hope you had a great weekend. And of course, we keep you updated with the very latest on COVID-19 vaccinations day by day.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.